everybody. Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Talked to Logan quite a long while yesterday, and I sent her a picture of the Lakewood area covered with about 3 inches of snow. We were going to have a light dusting, and she was kind of laughing about the fact that she was sitting out with shorts and a tank top on while we were, you know, shivering away down here. So we've put some photographs of both things on the Facebook for you, so you can kind of keep up with that. She's sending me some more photographs right away of some of their adventures down that way. This hour is brought to you by fertilizers that should be used right now for the first major fertilization of the year. Maestro Grow Texas Tea. They also make the Garrett Juice Pro, which has the beneficial microbes, bacteria, and mycorrhizae in the product. The Medina fertilizer that's just terrific, that has been on the market now for a while and available out there pretty easily. Rhodey's Green Sense fertilizers, especially like the ones that have alfalfa in them. And that kind of goes across the board. I like all the alfalfa products, including the Nature's Guide alfalfa-based fertilizer. So if you haven't fertilized yet, unless you're covered with snow and ice, it's time to do that. Back to the phones, and that telephone number, by the way, is 866-444-3478. Debbie in Dallas next up. Hi, Debbie.
Oh, hi. Hi, Howard. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Wow. First, I have to say wow.
on the Rose Rosette conversation?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm just, sometimes I don't even know how to express the, you know, these people are seemingly intelligent people that are so close-minded. But anyway, I have been listening to you since 1992.
Oh, wow.
I'm the one that I lived in Irving all my life and then moved to Miami in 2001. And now we've been back for over 2 years. So glad to be back to Texas. I have grown roses for years since I started listening to you. I even bought that book by Liz Druitt.
Yeah, I know Liz.
And at the present time, I have heirlooms and antiques. I even have the dreaded knockout rose.
Okay.
That the owner of the house, I'm leasing this house, she planted in the front.
Uh-huh.
Actually had a problem that I thought might be rose rosette. Used your program. Don't have a problem at all. And the knockout roses are even thriving.
Yeah, if you can cure them, you can cure pretty much any of the roses out there.
That's
right.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, and I do, you know, baking soda, hydrogen peroxide for the fungal things, and banana peel, and I have no problem at all.
Well, I think that's one of the things that is happening here. I think that the organic community, the people that are truly organic and use something similar to what, you know, the overall approach that I recommend, they're not having this disease issue because the basic organic program takes care of it. You take care of diseases by keeping microbiotic activity in check.
Right. And they just don't get it.
Yeah,
you know what it reminds me of? You know, right before we moved to Miami, it was around 2000, there was the citrus canker scare in Florida.
Right.
You know, most of the commercially grown citrus orchards are in Central Florida. They actually, the state, went in and made everyone who had citrus trees, diseased or not, they removed all of them.
Wow.
All of them. And that kind of, you know, thought process and mentality is really scary, because I'm thinking, okay, maybe they want to do this with roses.
Well, that's how my whole recommendation got started. I saw these extension services and universities and rose societies all saying the same thing, remove the roses, remove the roses. And I was like, wait a minute, before we do all that, why don't we try something? And then if it didn't work, like I was telling Mr. Black, you can take them out at that point. You're not going to risk anything by going that route. And even if I tell people this all the time, even if your plant roots have already gone past the point of no return and you lose a plant that you've tried the sick tree treatment with, you haven't wasted your money because you have improved the soil for whatever else you're going to plant there next. So anyway, Debbie, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everything you're doing and have done. And, you know, keep up the good work.
Well, we appreciate you guys out there are a big part of it. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's Lyle's turn in Harker Heights. Hi, Lyle.
Hello. Hey, I found a whole bunch of canned goods when I was cleaning out the house that's outdated.
Uh-huh.
Can I throw those in the garden I'm working?
Yes, you can use old canned goods, food. You can trench compost them. You can, in other words, dig a trench kind of running down beside the beds in the vegetable garden or the landscaping, either one, and bury the material in the ground. Or you can mix it into your compost pile to be a important portion of the compost. Some of the best commercial compost that's being made today is using food waste from cafeterias and things like that in schools.
Okay, because basically, I know before I'd take, you know, bread and pasta and stuff and throw out on the top of the garden and just work it in. And I'd even take the old cans and cut up in pieces and throw in a trash can and let them rust and use that water. That worked real good for me.
That's fine. I got no problem with any of that.
But these canned goods, like I say, summer 2010, 2011, and I just wonder if it'd be safe to just open up the cans and throw them on my garden and fill them in.
Now, even if there's some kind of pathogen going on in them because they're so old, it'll be neutralized by all the beneficial microbes in the soil that you're doing since you're an organic gardener and in the compost. Try putting some in a trench and the compost to see which way works best for you.
All right. One other question, if you have time.
Sure.
I had some old sweet potatoes that started sprouting, so I cut them up in about three or four inch pieces.
Okay.
And I had them in a brown bag, and I had them outside before I could put them in a bucket to put in the garden.
Okay.
And they got froze.
Mm-hmm.
Are they basically any good yet, or do I got to start over?
You probably got to start over because the sweet potatoes, as opposed to Irish potatoes, are very sensitive to cold. And if they get enough cold, and it doesn't take a whole lot to damage the cellular part of the potato, it's going to kill it. It'll just turn to mush. So you may have to start over. Sorry about that. They like it warm.
All right, well, like I say, I was going to plant a bunch of flowers along the edge of the garden for the pollination for the bees and stuff.
That'd be good.
Do you have any recommendations?
Yes, plant as many different kinds of flowers, different colors, flowers that bloom at different times of the year as you possibly can, annuals and perennials. The key is biodiversity, just as many different things as you can. That's how you get the beneficials to come in. Lyle, I hope that helps. Let me go help some other folks here.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate the call. Yep. And I forgot, because we've had so much going on, to finish telling you about Ruth Stout's planting method on Irish potatoes, and it'll just take a second. And we'll get right back to the phones. She just threw the potatoes down whole. She didn't cut them up. She didn't treat them. She just threw them on the top of the ground. And she basically, in this video that we found the other day, she said, that's all you have to do. You don't need to do anything else. And then she said, oh, yeah, by the way, I guess you do need to put some mulch on top. And she'd put real thick layers of hay mulch on top. Well, we did an experiment on that here with our Texas Organic Research Center to see if it worked well here as it did in Pennsylvania for Ruth Stout, and it did not. And the reason, and Bob Webster's done the same thing down in San Antonio, it gets too hot for that to work. So you can use her method of using the whole potato as the seed potato, not cutting it up, but put it in the ground. Have at least an inch or two of soil over, and then put your thick mulch above that. It's just our extremely hot temperature do not allow the pure Ruth Stout method to be done. The other thing is we've talked to some commercial growers, friends in Texas that plant a lot of potatoes, and they cut the potatoes up, if they're larger, into golf ball to tennis ball size pieces, you know, somewhere between golf ball and tennis ball size, unless the seed potatoes is about that size to start with, and they don't cut them up. They also plant them right after cutting. They don't let them callus over. They don't treat the cuts with anything. They just put them right in the soil, and they have tremendous production. Okay, back to the phones when we come back. 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer, as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
Howard Garrett here for Chia Omega. You know, the healthcare professionals often recommend supplementation of omega-3 for cardiovascular health, joint comfort, and healthy cognition. I recommend the all-natural plant-based Chia Omega family of omega-3 formulas. They combine chia oil with ingredients like DHA, EPA, enzymes, CoQ10, and vitamin D3 for enhanced health benefits. You can find Chia Omega at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy,
controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back, and there's an open line if you want to jump on real quick here at 1-866-444-3478. In Waco, it's Dale's turn. Hello, Dale.
Good morning, sir. Spirited discussions this morning.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I have two quick questions, or they may not be quick, but the first one is, I, through social media, belong to a lot of gardening groups, and I've seen a lot of posts lately that seem clever and intriguing, taking bags of potting soil. I've seen some with one of those commercial Miracle-Gro mixes and slicing the bags open and sticking them on a table, you know, for apartment dwellers, whatever, and just planting in that bag. I'm curious about your thoughts about that. And the other part is I'm seeing this this thing about stacking bales of straw and building a garden about three bales high so that you don't have to bend over, and I assume they're hollowing them out and placing some sort of planting mix in them.
Right, that's exactly what they're doing. I've done both of those things, Dale.
What do you think?
They're gimmicky. I think it's better to just plant in the ground, or in the case of a patio or a small space like you alluded to, this new smart pot technology that's fabric pots is just fantastic. They're very inexpensive. They breathe as opposed to the plastic bag, just cutting it open and planting in the plastic bag from the store. Drainage would be better. Last longer, could be moved around easier, and all that kind of thing. I think it's okay to play with it, but I don't think it's anything that folks should be real serious about and do on a large scale, because it's you're talking about when you bust one bag, slit one bag open and plant it there, you're not talking about much soil. And in the summer, especially, if you're going to try that, it's going to be tough to keep it watered enough. And it also, in a bag like that, drainage is going to be an issue.
Well, yeah, all that raises legitimate questions. One thing I'm thinking about, though, as I think about this, is I'm thinking about an aging population, and I ain't getting any younger.
I know what you mean.
Is if you got a garden and you're used to having a garden, even if it's 10 by 100 or 10 by 20 or whatever, mm-hmm. And bending over and getting down, and the hips and the knees don't work so much. If you got the money, I guess, and I know I'm going off track here, but if you got the money and you can stack up those bales, I mean, is it worth it to get something up to where you don't have to
Well, the problem with it is twofold, Dale. One is it's not a long-lasting thing. It's going to finally rot and fall in, and you're going to have to rebuild it. Maybe that's not a huge issue. But the other thing is, unless you get alfalfa hay, you've got a very strong chance of having contamination from recalcitrant, in other words, herbicides that don't break down hardly at all, clopyrrolid and picloram and things like that. So it'd be better to go with raised beds with things like cinder block or real native stone or, you know, these manufactured woods like Trex and other products, just mound the beds up. I get you about bending over and all that kind of thing, but it would be better if you're going to do it, if you're going to spend the money to do a raised bed, do it in something that's going to last.
Okay, the investment. Okay, I just really wanted to hear you talk about that.
Okay.
I think people need to hear that.
Good point.
My last quick question is, I am trying to sell my house. So it's on the market right now. And no, I know it's not a real estate show, but I'm going to have to disinvest myself from my garden. And I've got asparagus plants that are now coming up on 3 years old, and I'm expecting amazing production. I expect the house to sell about the time they bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And can I dig them up and take them with me, or do I just need to write them off?
Well, it's tough timing that you've got there. The best time to do it would have been last fall when the they turned yellow. That would have been ideal. That wasn't able to be done. The second best time would be to do it right now before the spears start coming up. And I don't know if you can do that or not. If you could put them in some containers. That smart pot, again, would work great for that. But any kind of container, an old wash tub with holes in the bottom of it could be used. Put them in that for the transportation to the new place, and you could leave them there a fair amount of time before they go back in the ground if you're not ready to replant them. It's going to hurt production some, but it'll keep the plants alive if you do it now. If you wait until the spears are already growing and it's all, you know, producing and everything, try to move it at that point, chances are pretty high you're going to lose them.
Okay. Yeah, I think I just need to write them off, but I just really wanted to.
Well, give it a shot. Try to get some dug out now and put in some containers and see if you can make the move later on.
All right.
Give it a shot. You're in charge of that research.
Always love it, everything you say.
Thank you, Dale.
Bye.
All right, open line at 866-444-3478. Here's Regina in Dallas. Hi, Regina.
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Doing great.
Great. Okay, so I've heard about these flow hives, and they sound like a great idea. I have a friend who's really excited and wants me to do this. And he said they're only about $600, and it would help the bee population. So I have many questions.
You're saying flow hives?
Yes.
Hmm.
Have you heard about them?
No, I haven't. Let me put you on hold, and we'll take a break and come back, and then won't be rushed, okay? Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, talking about honey and bees when we come back.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on dirtdoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. We were talking to Regina about flow honey beehives, and Regina, I've just learned something. That's pretty cool. You got the honey flowing right out of the beehive into containers. I did a quick search, and a site called Indiegogo.com came up. Is that one you've been looking at?
Yes, I posted it as a comment, so it went over to the left side of your page, but I just did that while we were on hold.
Okay.
Yes. And the concept of it is this is what my friend tells me, and he's been looking into this, is that it does not disrupt the bees when they have to go in and fog them and take the honeycomb out, and then they have to start all over again. Their process keeps going on, and the way the tubes are in there, you can just turn on your tap, and you can get your own honey out at any time. So I have several questions connected to this, and I also sent you, which I'll post her, Susan Pollard, which is wonderful, and she's in our area. She's a bee lady. She has concerns about this, and I'm gonna actually post it right now to you. I sent it to you as a private message, but I'm going to put it on here now, too, and it'll move over there.
Well, I was going to ask you if Brandon and Susan had looked at this and what their comments were, so I'd be interested in hearing.
Sure. I just posted what she said. But what her concerns are that it is almost like not fair. I mean, we're actually just, for our greed, we're going in there and we're taking from their normal way of doing things and kind of changing it to plastic and something different. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this to my friend last night, and my friend said, but Regina, the bee population is going down so much. If everybody, and they're only like $600, by the way, I asked him, how much does this cost? He said it's about $600 for the whole setup. And he said that would encourage more bees. Would that be true? I mean, if everybody started saying, wow, $600, and more people were putting these hives in, would that it would increase the bee life, right? I mean, if they had more places to make their honey.
Well, I guess it's possible, unless there's something about this new idea, technology, or whatever you want to call it, that would actually hurt the bees somehow. But if it's producing honey on an ongoing basis, I don't know how it would be hurting the bees, because they have to be healthy to be continuing to produce that honey like that.
Yeah. And then, so I don't know, I wanted to ask you and then see, because then I would like to move forward on it. You know, my history with bees is I was one of those that was terrified of bees. And when I started being this new gardener for my job and everything, there were bees around me all the time. And little by little, I love the bees now. They have never bothered me. I might have several hundred bees around me, and never have I had a problem. And now I have to make up for my bad ways of my thinking of them. But I would like to ask a question about that, too. If I put a beehive in my backyard, which is right in Dallas, Lower Greenville, is there any restrictions as far as your neighbors? And is there any danger for children being around or anything like that?
Not really. I don't think there's any restrictions. Susan and Brandon would be the ones to answer that. And I'll talk to them about this whole technology, and we'll pass more information on, you know, next week and other times, and in writing, too, because it's fascinating to me. I'm intrigued that her first reaction was negative. So
yeah, me too.
There might be something more to it than, you know, first jumps out at you. But I'll check and see. I appreciate you bringing it up.
Sure. And also, too, sir, I love that you mentioned that naked lady. What is her name? Ruth? Yes, the naked gardener. Because when you said that, I looked it up. And on the left side also, I found the video you're talking about where she goes out.
Oh,
she's
good.
A hoot. And I only got to watch half of it so far, but I posted it for you. And
Ruth Stout's who she's talking about. It's great stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Howard, for
thank
everything.
Thank you, Regina.
And listening again. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Yeah, it's Ruth Stout. She wrote great books back in the 60s, early 60s, primarily along in there. Prolific writer and speaker. My philosophy on what I charge for speaking comes from Ruth Stout. Her philosophy on what she charged to make a talk was, I charge whatever is the most you pay anybody else. That was her line. And she said, usually it's the people who come in and teach you how to do flower arrangements. She said, I can't think of anything more absurd than paying somebody to come in and teach you how to arrange flowers in a vase. Anybody can do that. She is a character. Ruth Stout, Lazy Gardener. She has, I don't know, four or five different books. If you haven't read any of it, it's a good thing to do. I need to do the Victor pet tip, or want to do the Victor pet tip of the week. And I want to kind of follow up on what Bill, an earlier caller, and I were talking about. Beneficial nematodes for flea and tick control is coming up. As soon as it warms up, we get through this this kind of hopefully the last real bad event here for those of us in this zone, Zone 8. It'll still be cold, but it's a perfect time to put out the beneficial nematodes, not only control fleas and ticks, but also a whole bunch of other pests that have at least one of their life cycles in the ground. One thing related to that I wanted to talk about, too, is that somebody wrote us last week and said that they were in a master gardener class, and the A&M entomologist said that I was crazy, you know, same old story, that beneficial nematodes would not help with thrips because thrips had their whole life cycle up in the plant, not in the soil. Well, I was glad that came up, because it made me look into it with a little bit more intensity. And what we have said in the Texas Bug Book and other places is that putting the nematodes in the soil gets the eggs and the nymphs. They call them pupae and nymphs. It's really interesting what the research turned up. It's not it's an incomplete life cycle that thrips have. But they actually will lay eggs on the plant, and then the eggs fall off, and some of the eggs and the pupae and the nymphs have a period of time in the soil. Other eggs and pupae, nymphs, get caught in crevices in the plant and never get to the soil. So they were right in that sometimes the thrips stay on the plant the whole time, and other times portions of the life cycles of the thrips will be in the soil. There's two points. One is you're still going to get some benefit from the beneficial nematodes on the thrips for the ones that fall into the soil. Plus, the nematodes actually migrate onto stems and around in the garden, not just in the soil. Not as much as they do in the soil, but that's one point that I was glad came up, and I'll clarify it. But yes, they still will do some good for the thrips as well as your fleas and your ticks and things like that for the pets. VictorDogFood.com is where you can get more information about the wonderful products from Victor, which are manufactured over in Mount Pleasant, Texas. Dale is next up in Gainesville, Texas. Hey, Dale.
Yes, sir. Mr. Garrett, got a question concerning some homemade potting soil. I read an article in a magazine the other day about raising tomatoes in containers, maybe something the size of a number three wash tub or so. Basically, my question, could you give us a recipe for making some organic potting mix that we could raise those tomatoes in? The article said we shouldn't use a lot of regular garden soil. It would impede the drainage and what have you. So that was my question this morning.
Okay. Well, basically, what we recommend for potting soil, Dale, is about 60% the organic side of it, the compost, coconut fiber, cedar flakes, things like that, that are in the category that we recommend, and then 30% the rock minerals, organic fertilizers. A little bit of inoculation with native soil helps, but it should be a very small amount. We've got we continue to upgrade the latest recommendation for potting soil on the website on dirtdoctor.com. It's in the library. But what I would just tell you is, If you get a good quality compost, you get a little bit of some other kind of organic matter, possibly, just compost being 60% is fine. But if you mix in a little coconut fiber or core, that is the other word term for it, and some cedar flakes, I think it gives it a looseness and a fluffiness that's good. And then the 30% of the mixture would be lava sand, decomposed granite, Texas green sand, or just any green sand. We call it Texas green sand around here. We have deposits here in the state. And other rock minerals. Zeolite is a good one to add as well, because it helps to buffer anything that you might have out of balance a little bit.
Okay.
So you've got those two basic things. You've got the compost and other organic-related things, 60% of the mix, and then 30% of those rock minerals and organic fertilizer. It's a little alfalfa meal. You know, don't overdo any of these things. But that's why using zeolite as one of the ingredients in the rock will help, because if you happen to get something in a little bit too heavy, green sand, for example, can have real high levels of potassium, and the zeolite can help balance anything out that's a little bit out of whack. Mix it all together, plant away, and you have great success.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And one of the things I probably should have mentioned to him, because sometimes I think I take it for granted people understand my feelings on it, is that we don't recommend peat moss. Peat moss is antimicrobial, basically, and we don't recommend it. It's too expensive, so we recommend compost instead. Much, much, much better. And like I said, if you need for volume, or you know, make the fluffiness even better, you want to add some other organic things in there, the coconut fiber, pecan shells are okay if they've been composted and broken down fairly well, and they're almost becoming a compost. And the cedar flakes are a good ingredient in there as well. 866-444-3478. Here's John in Illinois someplace. Hey, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm the first-time caller, too.
Well, thanks.
All right. I'm calling basically about turbo torches. I've got property way up in northern Wisconsin, 50 miles south of Lake Superior. And I got weeds that are coming up like crazy, and I try to keep them out of the garden because I'm growing a vegetable garden up
mm-hmm.
that way.
Mm-hmm.
Soil's terrible, so I'm bringing home, or bringing up soil from here, from home, up there, and then rototilling that all in. But at the same time, what it was doing before was covering up with boxes from refrigerators and stoves and things like that to control the weeds. But after you move them, they still came up. So I was thinking about the turbo torch thing, and then killing off the weeds, and then rototilling it while I'm rototilling, reburn the weeds again.
Well, flame can be very successful. Let's talk about it and not be rushed when we come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back right after this.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, is Howard's newest book. Howard explains in detail how to establish and maintain lawns, covering planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. This book explains an easier, less expensive, and less water-intensive program than using conventional lawn care. Have the best-looking lawn in your neighborhood. Get more information or order this great book today by going to Howard Garrett Books on DirtDoctor.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Howard, back with you, and I was visiting with John up in Illinois about killing weeds with flame, basically. John, you there?
Yes.
Are you under ice and snow at the moment? Where are you in Illinois?
I'm on the Illinois-Wisconsin border, right next to Lake Michigan. We still have about 20 inches of snow.
I thought it probably is pretty cold there right now.
Yeah, well, even up north last year, the last iceberg melted out of Lake Superior in July.
Wow. Well, yeah, your question's a good one. I'm kind of a fan of these torches. You mentioned one specific one, turbo torches. I'm not familiar with them. I think they make torches for things other than weed control, don't they?
Right. That was just a figure of speech. They have been there for weed burners or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
The reason why I was trying to use it is to kill the seeds so it wouldn't go back into the soil and regerminate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd kill that first. And then I eventually kill it down to the bottom, rototill it if it was ever dry up there, which it rarely is, and then rototill it again, burn the root system out of it, and then re-rototill it again by putting in compost and stuff like that.
Well, I don't have a problem with your approach. The torches are primarily used to kill green tissue, growing weeds,
right,
not the seed so much. So I'm a little bit in the dark about how well that would work. It'd be worth trying, I guess. I guess the negative would be that the flame, you know, really close to the soil and all that's going to also hurt beneficial microbes and things like that as well.
I see. Well, I got another suggestion. Since I'm out there in a rural area and I usually use rainwater
mm-hmm.
with a trash pump,
mm-hmm.
Well, I was looking around for a filter system to put it in line, because if you use just by putting a suction line into the water drum, you get cottonwood seeds and stuff like that, and it plugs up like the sprinkler and stuff.
Right.
And I was looking around for a filter, and I couldn't find one cheap enough, plus also the trash pump builds up a lot of pressure right away.
Mm-hmm.
I got the idea, why not ladies' stockings and double them up? And it worked just great after I tried that.
You did what now?
You take ladies' knee-high stockings.
Oh, I got you as a filter.
And you put that over the top of your suction.
No, that's a great idea.
And
well, let's go back to the. I like that, but let's go back to the flame again. Make a note of this.
Mm-hmm.
There is a. I've had some experience with this company's products, and they have a wide range of products from very inexpensive little propane torches to some, you know, big commercial stuff. And the name of it is Red Dragon. The name,
that's what I got.
Okay. Theflameengineering.com is the website for everybody out there. It's a good way to go. The thing that will surprise everybody about using flame for weed control is most people, if they just buy one of these things and use it, they'd use it wrong. They put the flame down too close to the weeds.
Right.
And it fries them, but it doesn't kill them. The way you kill with a flame thrower, a little torch, is you have the flame away from it so that it doesn't look like it's touching and burning, but it just collapses the weed and it kills all the cellular growth in there and really completely kills the weed.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do, because with this new, the turbo torch, when I first bought it, mm-hmm. I was using it here at home and everything worked fine. I took it up there and tried using it. I'd use it one time, it worked fine. I'd move to another place, try to relight it, and I was not just barely cracking the valve. I was opening it all the way, mm-hmm. and it would reset it where it would only light just a flame. It wouldn't go into the turbo mode. So I had to come back home 2 weeks later, call him on the phone, and ask him. He says, you got to always open the valve very slowly at first to restart it. I thought it was out of propane, and I wasn't. I even switched to a new bottle and found out I was doing the same thing, and that was the reason. But the way I've been killing the weeds up there is to go ahead and kill all the seeds first, sterilize the top, and then go ahead and rototill it, and then go ahead and put grass clippings and leaves in there, and then re-rototill it again.
So you think you are getting some control doing it right on the soil and killing weed seed right on the soil?
Yeah, you're killing the seed that gets up on top of the dirt.
Yeah, I like what you're doing there. You know more about it than I do, and I've played around with them a little bit. So good stuff.
I got saturated with the weeds back in 2011. I couldn't even see the garden. You know, and then I got the rototiller in there, and when I was using the rototiller, the weeds actually stopped the rototiller.
No way. Wow. So, that's some weeds.
All right,
well,
thanks for
good stuff. That's helpful to a lot of people, I bet, who have weed problems. So,
well, the same thing with the water thing. If anybody's out in a rural area,
that's a good idea.
Something to think about.
Thank you, John.
Sure. Thank
Call
you.
Us again.
All right, bye.
Number's 866-444-3478. Again, if you're interested in the torches, that little Red Dragon, their website is flameengineering.com. And, yeah, it's absolutely a legitimate way to control weeds, both on a commercial basis. They make some of these attachments attached, you know, to tractors, and, you know, they're real wide and do – agricultural planting, farmland, as well as these little hand propane torches that a homeowner would use. You're talking about fire now, so you got to be careful. You got to use some common sense, but pretty fascinating stuff. And this one company has apparently looked into it quite a bit and has a lot of good advice on their website and everything, so check that out. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. That's the end of hour number two. Got a third one for you. We're always on, if not on your radio station, where you are, streaming live on dirtdoctor.com. We do have an app also. You can get that in the app store. And the podcasts are available from dirtdoctor.com if you need to listen later on. Delighted to have you join us. Talk about whatever you would like. The number is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Our website is dirtdoctor.com. There's where you can find out about the newsletter.